Light. Welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. This is Paul from Marion. As always, so thankful that you've chosen to check things out today, spend some time considering, thinking about the Word, and some time in prayer as well. Well, hey, we're coming off of the Twisters movie this past Sunday, and one of the things that I found really fascinating in this film is how often Kate and company are running into towns, warning people and trying to get them out of the way of a tornado that's coming, trying to save them. And there's this one scene after the rodeo they're at, and it's nighttime, and a tornado seems to come out of nowhere. And they run into this little hotel, and there's this couple in there, and the woman is saying, oh, you know, most things are false alarms. It's not really going to happen. It's not real. And suddenly the building they're in begins to be ripped apart. And she had been warned, this woman, that a tornado was upon them. She rejected that warning. And by the time she realized it was too late, she was, she didn't make it. And she had been warned. She didn't listen to that warning, and she didn't make it. And it was that dynamic that began me to think about what happens when we die. And just the difficulty of that question, but also the severity and the seriousness of that question. Last time I checked, there's only two people who haven't experienced death. And I don't include Jesus in that. Jesus experienced death, but Jesus rose again. He's the only one to rise again and to remain alive. But two other people, they don't die as far as we can tell. Enoch from Genesis 5, he walks with God, and then God just takes him up to be with him. And then we also see Elijah, the prophet from 2 Kings chapter 2. We see Elijah is taken up in a whirlwind, speaking of tornadoes, with fiery chariots and horses, and he does not see death. But everybody else, well, we die. And so the question becomes, well, what happens after we die? And I think typically we know this, but for me, it was just a really helpful thing to study and to look up once again. And so the Bible is, I think, pretty clear that we have a couple of different states of being, states of being. The first state of being after death, in this time between Jesus's ascension into heaven and his future return, he has not yet returned. And so right now we enter into something called an intermediary state, or an intermediate state, excuse me. And we see that in the intermediate state, we are apart from the body, but our soul is conscious, or our spirit. And you might make a distinction between soul and spirit for our purposes today. I'll just say our soul is conscious. So Philippians 1, 22 through 25, I think is a helpful dynamic here. It says, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue for you all, for your progress and for your joy in the faith. He says then in 2 Corinthians 5:8, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. You could also look at Luke 23:43, where Jesus looks to the thief next to him, also being crucified, and he says, amen, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And so there's a clear distinction between a body that is dead, that is no longer conscious, but the soul being conscious, being in the presence of God, in, we might say, paradise, as Jesus seems to indicate in Luke 23. Some might say that's heaven. I think the important thing is not to necessarily get lost in those words, but more understand the principle that is at play and the reality that is at play. The point being taught here is that when we die, we are away from the body and we are with God. We are in the presence of God. And yet, interestingly, in the presence of God, in this intermediate state, we still have a longing for Jesus to bring into completion everything. We long to be united with our resurrected and glorified bodies. Revelation 6, 9 through 11, speaking of those who have been killed as a result of their faith, it says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. And they cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And so we see this like longing for what's next. And so while souls are conscious in the presence of God, those who belong to Christ very clearly, while they're with him, and there's certainly contentment in that, and there's no longer sin, so many wonderful things, there's still a longing for the full plan to be completed. And so that's what happens to the believers who die. They go into the presence of God. Well, this is then the really hard one to face. What about the unbelievers? What about those who don't belong to Jesus? And we've already established that consciousness continues after death. And so if consciousness continues after death for the righteous, righteous according to Christ's righteousness, what about the consciousness of those who do not belong to Christ? Do they just sleep, or are they conscious as well? Well, the Old Testament repeatedly talks about something called Sheol, and going down into Sheol, the place of death, if you will. And it seems to indicate very clearly a consciousness. Well, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus sheds a little bit more light onto this, and he tells a story about the rich man and Lazarus. And in his story, he is teaching spiritual realities. If he is making up the characters, and he may not be, by the way, if he is making up the characters, it doesn't change the points that he is making or the descriptions that he is giving. What we see is the rich man who did not belong to God, was not faithful, did not have faith in God. He is conscious in Jesus' Hades. Interestingly, Hades is the Greek version, if you will, of the Hebrew word Sheol. And so in this intermediate state, those who do not belong to Christ are in conscious existence apart from their body, soul existence, in Hades. And in Hades, there is torment, as Jesus says in Luke chapter 19, verse 23. It says, in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And this one just hurts, because I think of so many people that I know, family members whom I love, who that's their current existence. And man, it just hurts. And I think that should motivate us toward evangelism. It should motivate us toward considering the reality of what's ahead. And again, this is just the intermediate state. And I'm already, you know, just about 8 minutes into this podcast, and so I should wrap this up. But eventually we get to a final state, when there's a final resurrection. And in the final resurrection, what we see is we are united with our glorified bodies, and we are in heaven, the new heavens, the new earth. We are with God, those who belong to him, but those who do not are cast away from his presence into the lake of fire, the second death. We can think of this as hell, or as sometimes you'll see in your Bible, Gehenna, or if you look into the translations. And that is the final state. And it is continuing to be a conscious existence in torment away from the presence of God. And so then how does, again, this all connect with Twisters? Well, I think we need, like Kate, to be warning people of a danger that's to come. And unlike Kate, though, who has a solution she hopes is going to work to destroy the tornado, we have the ultimate answer, and that is Jesus. Jesus, without a doubt, defeats the possibility of going to hell, the possibility of being separated from God for outside of time and for all time. And through faith in Christ, we are secure. We are brought into the presence of God. We are not cast away. We are not cast out. And so I want us to cling to that. And as we close this, you know, Drivecast time, I just want to encourage us to be prayerful about, Lord, help me consider these things. Help me have a right view toward what awaits us when this life comes to an end. Motivate me out of a response to who you are and what you've done, to share this with others, not to scare them into faith, but Lord willing, to allow them to see the realities that await, and to place their faith in you, Jesus, trusting you for our salvation. So let's pray to that end. And I want to say thanks again for joining us here on the Drivecast today. God, we love you, and Jesus, thank you for making us a way to be saved from Hades, to be saved from our final state of hell if we are apart from you. I deserve hell. I deserve Hades. But by your grace, I get paradise, I get heaven, I get time with you, I get your presence. And so, Lord, praise you. And Lord, cause that to motivate me, to motivate us toward evangelism. How can they believe if they don't hear? You say in your word in Romans chapter 10. And so, Lord, let us be a people who share the news that we need to be saved. Saved from what? The wrath of God against sin. And Jesus, thank you for being our complete and sufficient Savior. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.